Hi, and welcome to the podcast today. A guest we've had on quite a few times, but something new going on with my friend Amanda Held at Hooves. They have a feature presentation for you to go check out coming up on April 6th. It is going to be quite moving. We'll get to that shortly. She also has brought along a guest, one of the stars of that movie. And once you hear Amanda's words, you'll get the idea of why it goes beyond what she does with the horses and the entire Hooves project. She's hoping, and it sounds like it definitely will happen, people will be moved to finally seek some help after watching this coming up on April 6th. Before we get to that, the first question came yesterday from my friend, my former boss, around 4:30 in the afternoon. He said, "Are you going to change Diddy's name now?" And I have been awaiting this for some weeks now, even before things really started to perk up about Sean Puff Daddy Diddy Combs, whose place was raided by the feds. I haven't closely followed the story since yesterday afternoon. The one story said that his whereabouts were unknown at the present time. I could definitely tell you that Diddy was at home or in my bed, at home on the couch or in my bed with Andre. That's the two places. Or unless there was a squirrel or bunny outside, he was losing his mind looking out the door we have in the living room. To do this one more time, Diddy came that way. D-I-D-D-Y. Diddy came that way. He was, speaking of mental health, as we often do here, he was my life-saving dog. The very, very short version is, in the middle of the worst professional and personal year of my life in 20... Hold on, I gotta change my headphones. In the middle of 2012, the worst year of my life, my dad's like, "Maybe you miss your dog." I was like, "Nah, I can barely take care of myself. How can I take care of a dog?" Next week, I had the great idea to go adopt a dog. I show up to Petapalooza at the Palace of Auburn Hills. I go up, as I always do, first thing to meet everybody there, early on that Sunday morning in June or maybe early July. And I somebody approaches me. They're like, "Can I help you?" I say, "Yeah, I'm looking for like a small to medium apartment-sized dog." And before they could even say anything, I look down. I was like, "How about him?" Take Diddy out of the crate. We walk. The parking lot of the palace was empty. We walk. We go sit down. He seems pretty chill. I don't have the money to give them that day to take him home. But the next day, this place has been in the news lately, and it's a horrific story. But I was surprised that I found out about Oxford, Michigan. Yeah, where the school shooting was, and the parents were just sentenced. The parents were just found guilty. Drove all the way up to Oxford, Michigan, which is way past the palace, but not quite at Flint, to get Diddy from this very questionable looking place. Like, it was shack-like. He didn't want to get in the car. I finally get him in the car, and we get on 75, and to this day, he still sits like a person in the passenger seat. He loves the car. I'm not changing his name. I'm not changing his name. I was thinking, does anybody change their name with, like, in regards to other people who have done bad things? R. Kelly, Robert Kelly. Actually, my middle name is Robert. So Diddy is staying as Diddy. It looks like things will proceed forward with the pedestrian bridge over Douglas near UT. I asked a friend about this. He was in support of the idea. I actually did not know that some critics of pedestrian bridges find them to be too pro-car. And I get that side of the coin, because if you put a bridge over the road, it allows people to continue to drive fast, if not faster. I personally think, not that I'm over there that much, but when I have been over there, I know that people are crossing Douglas, going from that athletic part of campus over to the other building. I forget what's over there. There's a building over there across Douglas, and I think there's also some dorms and some living facilities. I've never seen a horde of people hopping across the street. I obviously never want to see people run or mow down. I haven't read of people of that happening to people in that specific spot. But you know what? Put the darn bridge up, and we can continue to be a very car-centric area here. It will connect a couple of places, and maybe more than anything, it's probably more of an aesthetic addition, a helpful aesthetic addition to the neighborhood, to prospective students, to anybody who wants to be a part of that area. It is a nice aesthetic addition more than a pragmatic one, where I just don't know if it will get the use that you would think for $2 million. I didn't talk about the Flow Rider show announcement at Promenade Pavilion. Wanted to get that right. Didn't talk about it on the radio show because they have partnered with iHeartRadio and are not doing any partnership with us for that show. And Flo Rida is absolutely a core artist with what we do on Q105, Toledo's 90s and 2000s. I'm fairly certain we play way more Flo Rida songs than, well, and I'm not being mad. We'll probably wind up partnering with some shows as they announce more of them. The ticket prices, I believe I saw, let me pull this up. I texted Alex last night. I'm buying time. Let me go to the thing from Alex. Sorry, thank you for your patience. Alex, where's the text? Any idea what the tickets would cost? We expected a better caliber of artist with HB concerts doing these. And I would say, as far as I can recall, I think Flo Rida is the most popular and still contemporary artist who they have brought to perform there in my memory. We had Third Eye Blind, right? And Tonic, far less relevant than Flo Rida. And I think Flo Rida would draw an extremely diverse crowd. As I told Alex, I'm like, her mom's name is Mary. Mary is Flo Rida. Why can't I talk today? What the hell? Mary is one of Flo Rida's biggest fans. Flo Rida is the fan of people of all ages. All ages. Many years ago, it was Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back. That was the song that everybody's grandma wanted to hear at bar mitzvahs and weddings and whatever other event like that. Now, everybody wants to hear the Apple Bottom Jeans song, no matter how old or what color you are. Saturday, July 13th, ticket prices are general admission, $40 and $60. Let's add on fees, right? $40 and $60, and reserved seating is $80. I suspect the people that want to go see him, like him, go to a concert downtown, check out what this new venue is like, they'll buy the tickets. I think the undecideds might back off, because those are expensive ticket prices, I think, for here and this area. We'll see how good of a crowd they have on July 13th. We know we're a big walk-up city, not a lot of pre-sale here, but I don't know how people here will respond to those ticket prices. I hope people knew, with getting a better caliber of act and the pavilion that they want to create there, prices were going to go up. We just weren't going to get better acts, more appealing acts, without there being an increased cost. Didn't we have shows there for a while that were like, it was like $10 general admission? And granted, I think that just got you into the park, but they were very reasonably priced. I think some people may be for sticker shock when they see the cost of some of these concerts. And you'll either pay it because you're excited, or you'll decide not to. I'm so happy that Amanda Held from Hooves decided to take me up on my invite to come by and talk about an upcoming documentary that they have, which we'll talk a whole bunch about now, and get to meet Jason, one of the stars of it, here now. I'd like to welcome back for like the 70,000th time, which I'm totally fine with, even though no horses have come by, Amanda Held from Hooves. Hi.
Hi, Eric. It's great to see you again.
It's great to see you, too. We have something coming up. Can you introduce the guest that you have brought on to a podcast that you're always welcome to?
Yes. I have today with me Jason Lenhart, who is one of the cast members in our new documentary, Hooves Healing Our Veterans.
And we're going to get to that shortly, because we'd like to encourage everybody to head out to the Mummy Indoor in a couple of weeks. But first, for those that don't know, what the heck is Hooves?
Hooves is a 5-day healing intensive program who helps veterans that are struggling with service-connected stress be able to heal, regain control, and return to the lives they fought to protect.
Jason, how did you wind up hearing about Hooves? What was your first thought when you heard about such an endeavor?
It's been a couple years since I went to the retreat, and my wife actually brought it to my attention. I don't know how she found out about it, but she... Obviously, we have an intimate relationship. We're married. And she said that there's something wrong with you, but not unfixable. So she said, why don't you go try this?
Can I get some more details on that? Did she describe what was maybe what she noticed, what she believed was wrong, and how she went about the process of convincing you to go try this? Which is not medication. It's not a therapist. It's horses. So, and then I want to ask again your first thought when you decided to hop in all this. So, what did she notice?
Actually, I had been in some treatment with the VA concerning basically some mental health issues. It's not, you know, it's nothing I wouldn't say I'm unproud of. I'm glad I overcame them. You know, it's kind of a great feeling to get past it and through it. But she said, what was helping you? Well, you went to go get help and it wasn't working. So let's try something different. Because it's just, you feel like you're getting there, but you're not getting there. And she noticed some regression, some changes. It was just withdrawn, kind of a... You just knew I was in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that with somebody.
Did you know? And sorry if Amanda didn't tell you. We're very mental health centric on here.
Okay.
So if any questions, if you're bothered by any of them, please feel free to dismiss me and we'll do some fancy editing.
Sure.
She noticed something because you mentioned intimate relationship. Did you notice anything? Did you feel anything different? Because as Amanda and I have talked about so many times, men our age, white men, men with veteran backgrounds. This is a lot of things that people like us don't, and I'm not a veteran, we don't look into. We like to dismiss it and let it go, and then it festers, and then we wind up killing ourselves.
Totally. I would never contemplate a suicide. I never got to that point.
Great.
But it manifested itself, and I was withdrawn. Alcohol use started ticking up a little bit. Just it being on edge, it just wasn't the person I am today, but I can look back and look at myself, and I didn't think anything was wrong with me. It was just the way I was. It was the way I coped with things that were happening in my life, and it was fine. In the Army, I was in the Army for 20 years, so they never gave us a way. They gave us a bandage to fix a gunshot wound. They never gave us a way to fix our minds.
Yeah.
We always go back to the adage is, improvise, adapt, and overcome. We do that. We just didn't know how to do it correctly. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I mean, from a military perspective, and I know I'm reaching out to some veterans here, but you say, okay, well, something's broken. Let's fix it. Let's figure out a way. Hey, the bottle works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep going. Or just with being withdrawn works. Let's keep going with this. And then other people say, no, that's not right. That's not the greatest way to cope with your problems.
Yeah, the bad things and the good things usually compound one another, and they go in a good direction or they go in a bad direction, depending on which road you're on.
So at that point in my life, I thought I was okay. I was managing the issues that I had. And obviously, you know, looking back on it, I was not doing it correctly. So she asked me to, hey, why don't you try this? And I said, no, it doesn't. I was a skeptical. You know, I am a skeptic.
About the horse part, or that it wasn't something traditional?
It was the traditional part. Like, you know, people with PTSD, I've served with a lot of people that were diagnosed with it. I was never diagnosed with it, but there was just a routine that you went through, and you got on the meds, and you did the EMDR, I think they call it, and you just went through the program, kind of thing. And I saw some people get better and some people, they didn't. They just didn't. They were kind of just stuck in where they were at, as I call it, treading water. So she said, hey, why don't you try this thing? And I was like, that doesn't look like a traditional way of mental health. Maybe, maybe not. And so with a little bit of a cattle prod, not actually, but yeah, a little bit of prodding on her part was like, oh, go try it.
When you connected with Amanda and went to the Hooves retreat and saw everything that was going on there, tell me about the initial apprehension, and then when the light went on and thought this could actually help me.
well, arriving there was a little weird because you're like basically moving into someone's home for 4 days. It was very welcoming. I mean, immediately you were greeted with snacks and hugs and a very welcoming attitude, very welcoming place. And then you meet all these strangers, and then you start to talk a little bit about why you're here. And, you know, some people open up a lot more than others, and it's just a comfort level. But then after you, like, actually stay with somebody for a little while, I call them a bunkmate, you get to know them a little bit. And the more we went on, the more you started to see, like, wow, these things are actually, this makes sense. When the light bulb really came on for me, we were doing I believe it was the blueprint. We were looking back on the traumas that you had in life and how they affected you now and how you can affect, it's the effect thing, but how they affect your perception, and your perception can change so much over the things that hurt you. You felt that they hurt you, and you were demonizing yourself because you were injured. They were actually helpful, and you didn't know it. And we had no idea. Everybody there had no idea that we had a way to fix ourselves. We just didn't know where it was.
Yeah, we get stuck in our own heads. Our minds can be our greatest allies, but often our worst enemies. Amanda, what was it like from your perspective when Jason showed up and arrived?
Well, it's like he said, everybody shows up and they're kind of a little bit on edge. They're walking into, you know, what is normal in our life, the life we live every day. I've had to really be sensitive over the years that not most people live like that, right? And so it's a long, winding driveway, and then you kind of get to the house, and it is a house, and people are always like, oh, is this your house? And it's our business, our charity. But with everybody that came to this particular healing intensive, you know, not only did Jason agree to come to the program, he also agreed to be filmed throughout his journey. And so I knew when people got there, I mean, there were cameras the whole time. And so I knew that was even going to add an element of stress. So we tried to just like act normal, stick to the program. And I think everybody shows up with that amount of dis-ease. And so it's not, you know, anything that's new for us. And like Jason said, we try to do our best. But every time somebody walks through that door for a healing intensive, I just immediately see the possibility and the potential in them. And I certainly saw that with Jason. And even just our introductions that night were really, really intense. And like Dave says in the film, cathartic. But you see people quickly, you know, the skepticism starts to wash away, even in those first moments of connecting to someone and saying, oh my gosh, other people feel this way. I'm not alone.
Jason, when did you find out that in addition to equine horse therapy, every time I say equine therapy, you smack me.
Equine partnered healing.
There we go. Thank you. I will get it right on our 78th
it's
podcast.
Okay.
In addition to that, when did you find out, and what was it like knowing that you were also going to be filmed? Become a movie star.
Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be in a movie. I just knew that they were going to film it. I figured it was just for review later on as like a quality control. But then they told us about it, and it was like, okay. I was a little bit apprehensive about it. But then I realized that, like, hey, once I realized that this thing's actually helping me, like, I'm starting to learn things about myself, and I'm starting to learn coping mechanisms and ways to, like, work through some of the hell I've been through, I was like, this could help somebody else. And that really touched me into, like, go for it. Let's do it.
Amanda, was Jason, you talked about the magnitude and the feeling of those introductions, was having somebody like Jason there who was clearly very forthcoming and just wants to get better. I can see and hear what he's speaking about, being open and wanting to feel better, listening to his wife, which I won't tell her you said that. I won't tell her you said that. Is having somebody like Jason as a part of the group, does that make things so much easier for the other people in the group for that week's retreat?
Absolutely. We get all kinds, and there's no judgment on any kinds that we get. We get some people there that are so optimistic and they're so ready and they just want to jump in and do the work. We get people that come on ultimatums. Hey, if you don't go to Hooves, I'm divorcing you. We get people that are there that are very skeptical, that are like, I've tried everything else, so there's no way that this is going to work. But what I've noticed, and sometimes this comes in different forms, but it just takes one person saying, you know what, screw it. I don't have anything else to lose. I'm going to be vulnerable here. And then people just pop, pop, pop. And it happens every time. But yes, the more people we have that are optimistic and open and willing to be vulnerable, definitely the faster things will get into healing mode. And I felt like really the whole group, except one person in that healing intensive, was pretty open. And, you know, even the one that was not, and you'll kind of see a little bit of that in the film, still ended up by the end breaking through. So I don't think we've ever had anyone come through that didn't get at least one little breakthrough.
Before we go any further, let's talk about the film. Be careful, please. No injuries here. April 6th at the Mommy Indoor. The movie star is sitting right here. Meet and greet, autograph signings, collectible, memorabilia, all that stuff as Jason ascends to Hollywood. Tell me about the movie itself. We can talk about Josh and how talented he is putting it all together.
Yeah. Are you ready, Jason?
I am. Sure.
Well, and I just want to say, too, before we move forward, Jason does have a part in the film, and we've sent the film out for screenings and for feedback as we've kind of evolved it. And his part, I've already had people message me and say, you know what, I'm not even a veteran, but when I watched the part with Jason, I healed, too. And that is really kind of the catalyst behind why we decided to even film this in the first place. I always respect the fact that this is a really intimate process, but I think the people that came forth to put this film together really understood, even if they didn't understand in the beginning, by the end they understood that their willingness to be vulnerable was not just going to save lives of veterans, but this film changes the life of anybody that watches it. And,
yeah.
And that was what was behind all of this. I said to myself, we can help 70 veterans a year at Hooves with our current resources. But if we can put together a film that we can put out to the world, we could bring that same type of healing to people all over the world from the comfort of their own homes or a movie theater if you're coming on April 6th. But it's really, this whole thing has been really God-led. And I, you know, before we filmed this, we were kind of at a point, you know, we've been at a rocky point since we acquired our retreat center in 2018 because it's really expensive to run and the economy after COVID has been tough. And, you know, we always make it work every month, but we're privately funded. So there's always just kind of this like looming cloud of like, you got to hustle and you got to keep going. And I just felt like it got put on my heart to film. And it's so interesting how the whole thing came together. And I wish Josh could be here to talk. He's out of town right now. But you got to hear this also from Josh's perspective so you can get the complete story. But we were working with another production company, but it was like very specific. God was like, you are going to use Josh Nagel and you are going to film one of your healing intensives. And I, you know, was looking up Josh's stuff and I'm like, this guy's a wedding videographer. Like, what the heck? But I always listen to like my intuitive nudges. And I called him and it turns out he was looking to go in a little bit of a different direction. And he hadn't really yet. And I called him and I was like, hey, like this is the project. And the goal of this project really was to create a 5-minute trailer to just kind of show people like what happens at Hooves, because you can't put it into words. You have to see it. And so he was like, well, you know, this is weird, but I think, you know, I need the money. So, okay, I'll do it. And so we put this together and we had a budget. It wasn't a big budget. So we had to be very particular on the times that we would film and what we would do and who was getting mic'd and all of that. And Josh said, like, after the first introduction night, just going around the table and listening to everybody and getting a glimpse of what this actually was going to be, he had to pull his crew aside that night and say, we can't shoot this the way we were going to shoot it. And they totally had to change plans and what they were doing. And by the end of the film, you know, Josh came up to me and was like, okay, so for the next one, I was thinking the crew will come, we'll camp out back, we'll stay the whole time, everyone will get a mic. Like, you know, we already have big plans on what we would do if we get the opportunity to do it again. But Josh has put his heart and soul into this. And so we produced the 5-minute film, and that was great. That actually, just the trailer won a film festival, beat out full feature films last year at the Equus Film and Arts Fest. And then we were like, okay, we have all this content. What do we do? And he just kept like messing with it and putting it together. And, you know, he put together kind of like this instructional 45-minute video, and he sent it off to one of his friends in Hollywood. And his friend was like, called him and was like, I need more. Like, I need to know more. Like, you have to develop this. And so he started revising it, and we started sending it to people, getting feedback and putting it together, you know. And we really didn't have everything that we feel we need now. Like, not everybody was mic'd. We lost a lot of content because of that. But the way that he put it together, no, everybody that's watched it and given feedback has just been completely blown away. Like, it really is a piece to heal. And I hope that it will serve as a fundraising tool for Hooves to be able to move it forward. I hope that it will serve as a piece that will bring a little bit of healing to anybody that watched it. I hope that it will be an educational piece as well. So we're in film festivals now. I'm not sure what the future looks like yet for the film. We've had a lot of discussions, because it's all just evolved from just a, hey, can you put together a commercial for us?
Now it's Hooves, the production company.
Hooves, it's really become its own entity. It's taken on a life of its own, and it's drawn everybody in that's experienced it.
April 6th at the Maumee Indoor. Give me some more details about that. And if people miss out on that, where might they be able to see it somewhere down the line?
Yes, great question. So April 6th at Maumee Indoor, all of our VIP tickets are actually sold out, so we can't fit another person in the VIP. But we still have general admission. You can purchase them online on our website, hooves.us, or they can be purchased at the door. We have 500 seats available, and we're about halfway sold out now.
Great.
So there's about 200 or so tickets left, and we're really starting to promote this week. So I hope that they all sell quickly. But after this, we are going to do an online screening. So if you're listening to this and you're not in the local area, we will do a online Zoom webinar screening. I don't have the date for that yet. We still need to get through April 6th. And then it can't be released until we get through the film festivals. But we are also going to show it again on September 7th. We are doing a big symposium at Maumee Bay State Park and OH Stables in Oregon. So we're also going to show it live then as well.
Great. Will you guys and maybe Josh be speaking in any manner on April 6th? Or might it just be a quick intro and here's the movie?
No, we are actually going to screen the movie, and then we're going to put together a panel afterwards. And we've gotten most of the cast members, not everybody unfortunately was able to make it back because people are coming from all over the country, but we're going to open it up for Q&A, and we'll have the cast panel there for people to ask questions about, to them, to us, to Josh, and then we'll be taking feedback as well, and we'll be doing that with our online screening as well. So there will be a lot of opportunity to interact with the cast and ask questions and gain more information.
Jason, last couple of questions. When you first left the retreat, how did you feel? What were you thinking? And now, when you wake up every day, how do you feel? What are you thinking?
When I first left, it was a really energizing moment. At the end of the, I don't want to ruin the end of the movie.
no spoiler alerts.
But at the end of the movie, there's a moment where you will see me, and you will see a different me. So look for it.
Okay.
But the end of, I guess, to answer the question and not browbeat it, is I felt like a different person when I walked out of the door, and I felt really energized. And I took that into my life, and I progressed, and I became a much better person because of it. Now, it is it, and I don't want to say this in a wrong way, but is that 4 days going to change everything? No, you have to still put the work in.
Absolutely.
And that's something that actually coming back, you know, a couple of years later, made me remind myself, like, what did I learn there? I can still use this. Keep using it. Keep pushing on. Don't slide backwards. Go forwards. And I forgot the last part of the second question there. So what was the second question?
No, you answered it. Just okay. How you feel now, because I was going to ask you, do you have any mental health tenets that have just become a fabric of your being over the years that you've picked up that are now part of your life to put you in this good spot? And I think that was it.
There's a huge saying that Night 6 would say it all the time. It's not what happened to you. It's what happened for you. And I walk through every moment in my life that is trying it all, and I will replay that statement. And I realized that, like, hey, let's look for the good in this, because it does, whatever you're pushing yourself through, whatever bad is happening in your life, let's focus on what this is going to do for you later. You might not see it, but the good is coming. Just be patient and don't stop working on it.
Last two questions. If you could speak directly to a current Jason who is especially against getting any kind of help, maybe they are in a traumatic place, they're at a breaking point with who they love, what would you say to that person, and why hooves or any kind of healing would work?
I guess it's alternative healing. It's not your normal standard VA, let's pop a pill in you and see what happens next. It is very quick. It's a 4-day event, 5-day event now, and it can change your life. And if you just take those steps down that path, you will turn around and not recognize what you left behind. And it's a good thing.
Who do you want playing you in the big movie?
Oh, we got to talk about that.
I'm going to ask you the same thing.
Yeah, I already know, but...
Who plays you?
Well, see, I really wanted Julia Roberts to play me.
Okay.
But they might, you know, I don't know. I'm not that old yet, but maybe she can play future me.
How about Natalie Portman?
Oh, I would definitely love that.
Does it have to be a current actor? Or is it somebody that could have been retired?
Well, I mean, this is all fantasy for now. So who would you like it to be?
Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
He's not in good shape, though. But okay. I see the resemblance
but
a little bit.
But we can CGI, right? CGI can do a lot. Justin said Woody Harrelson.
Okay. Who plays Josh?
Like Zac Efron or somebody.
Awesome. Anything else you want to hit with Hooves before we wrap up? Because this was a great discussion. April 6th is going to be a great day. Sounds like it will be quite an impactful and moving evening as well.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to say, if you're listening to this and you're struggling, whether you're a veteran or not, or maybe you know a veteran or have a veteran in your life that you think needs help but maybe isn't open to help, I think this is a great way for people to come and understand Hooves from a really safe and non-committal space. And like you'll hear Dave, not to give a spoiler alert, say in the movie, but you know, he had some resistance coming as well. And he said, it's not about the spots. It's about if you're ready. And I think if somebody can watch this film, it will help them determine if they're ready. And if they are, we can welcome them with open arms and help them get to the person that they want to be. We say, move from being a victim of your history to a master of your destiny.